Hey, can you hear me fine?
Hi, how are you?
Good, you?
Good, good.
Hold on, give me just a moment. Let me get...
Yeah, take your time.
Chair, sit on a ball. The comfiest thing ever.
I love it.
Okay. Much better.
I'm Kevin Munoz. This is the Leo Podcast, and today is Monday, February 1st. Let's just start off with you guys introduce yourself, who you are, where you're from, and just what you do.
Yeah, so my name is Beatrice Atizabal. I am originally from Colombia, so I was born and raised there. I moved to this country when I was 7 years old. I did not know any English. You know, I didn't know anything about the U.S. system, and I was just put right through school and, you know, get going, and you'll learn as you go, and that's how it truly went. And so I lived in Florida for a couple years, but I would say I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. That is home sweet home to me. And then that's where I met my husband, and we are, you know, now living in Atlanta for his job. Mm-hmm. So my job's a little bit, you know, I'm mobile. So I told them I just need a big international airport to get to and from Colombia, because my parents actually moved back to Colombia. So that's where I am right now. And what do I do? Well, I'm an integrative wellness coach. I help particularly women like guide them back to embody the CEO of their body. So learn to listen to their bodies, what is telling us. And I think my number one mantra is the body speaks what the mind silences. So it's trying to see, you know, what is our body telling us? Because usually our body is like the last step into like what the true problem is. It's like once the problem has gotten big enough, it's being reflected in our body.
Yeah.
And then that's why I try to like, okay, let's start there and then like work backwards.
Yeah. And I saw that you have on your Instagram bio, empowering you to become the CEO of your body.
Yeah.
And you kind of mentioned that. When I saw that, I like showed it to my girlfriend too. And I was like, look at this. This is like awesome. I love the way that that's put there.
Thank you. Yeah, I love it. I think, you know, our physical bodies are just so, so amazing. And they tell us so much information that we like dismiss completely. You know, something, oh, I'm just stressed. Or like that stress has been ongoing for like months on end, and yeah, Something has to change, where else other things will start to explode along the way. So it's like a huge road sign that's telling you, hey, like take a look and listen.
Yeah. I think that's hard for me to do. And I think a lot of people actually, that to read those signs that our body gives us. And sometimes we kind of just want to ignore them, but it's important that we do attend those. I wanted to go back a little bit, and I want to know about like your journey, what got you into this, like into health and wellness, and why are you still involved with it today?
Yeah. So my original plan when I was little, I wanted to be a scientist. And then, you know, as I grew up going through middle school and high school, I was a really good student. Like, I'm not going to lie. I loved learning. I was like on the top, you know, grade lists, AP honors classes, everything, you name it, I was in it. And so that kind of puts you on this path, like, oh, you know, you would be a really great doctor. You could really do this. You could really do that. And I also started to get involved with volunteering at my local hospital when I was in eighth grade, and I just loved it. I wanted to like do more, you know, I was a candy stripper. That's what they called them back in the day. The volunteer. And then I'm like, this is so cool. I love it. I want to do more. And then, you know, in high school, I got into like the Grey's Anatomies, and I wanted to be like Christina Yang. Like that was like, loved her so much. So that was my goal. So I went to, you know, college. I was pre-med. But then it came down to, I was looking at like, you know, majoring in chemistry, biology. I was really good at those topics in high school. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the curriculum, and I was like, this is really boring. Like, you have to spend 3 years learning chemistry. Like, no. So I didn't know what to major in. I'm like, okay, I want to be a doctor. But I'm like, how do I get there? Like, will med school accept me if I'm not a chemistry major? So all those things ran to my head. And then I ended up creating my own program. The university allows you to do that, but you have to like sustain it. So I had to say, you know, like I focus on race and ethnicity with a focus on Hispanic, because that's what I wanted to do. You know, bilingual doctor, help the Hispanic community.
Yes. Love that.
And things like that. And And I was like, how do I get there? So I created this major. I focused a lot on the psychology of race and ethnicity, you know, Latinos in the US, American culture, all of those classes. That's what I took. And during that, I was like, you know, I took my MCATs. I didn't do so well in MCATs. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to get a master's degree because that looks good on a medical school application. That's all I was thinking. And so I received a Master's of Arts in Medicine, Health, and Society. So it was a one-year program at Vanderbilt University. And I loved every minute of it because it involved so much of, you know, like the minority groups and how culturally we consider health and wellness and illness and what is medicine. And I was, that opened like the door to what, you know, holistic wellness and well-being to me.
Yeah.
So I was very, you know, like black and white. And, you know, I thought the body was our machine and, you know, I was going to be the mechanic to fix it. In this program, I was, you know, it opened up my eyes to seeing like, wait, so many factors influence our health and well-being. And, you know, as, you know, Latina, like, what does my culture say about my health, my body, and my physical well-being? And so that's when I decided med school was not for me. So I kind of, that's where kind of the interest in more holistic alternative forms of medicine started. And
I applaud you though. I applaud you for all that because it's not easy going through these stages that you went through as well, where you're like, well, this isn't for me. And I'm going to pursue this instead. And you stuck to that. And that's something that's not easy to do.
No, I went on another path. I was still very, you know, in my mind, like, oh, my mom came to this country so I could, you know, have a great education. And I'm like, how do I tell her I don't want to be a doctor anymore?
Yeah, right. You know,
like
right.
My parents worked this hard to sustain me and her efforts. How do I not disappoint her? So I was like, you know what? I can still be a doctor and get my doctorate degree. So that's where my thought was, like culturally speaking, I do not want to disappoint my parents. You know, what would my grandma say? Like, what would she say to the people back home? And so I was like, okay, I'll get my doctorate in public health. So I actually started the program. I did 2 semesters. I hated it. So this is something, you know, like in our cultures, we may not like doing something, but we're so ashamed of what will people say, what will our parents think, that we stick through it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we're miserable.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so true. Tell us a bit. Can you talk about that then for a little bit, just about like why you think this is important to get out to our community and like immigrants that might be listening?
Well, because, you know, we come to this country, we have these big dreams of achieving that higher education, of having like a good job through that higher education, of getting the money, you know, buying the house and everything. And then when you think you want to become like this doctor or a lawyer, or these, you know, big titles, and you think that's with those titles, you're going to make it. And then you get there and you're miserable. It's really hard for like your mind to process, you know, we think it's failure.
Yeah.
And then that really shows up in our bodies. So like this goes back to, you know, the body speaks what the mind silences. And during my time in the program, I was miserable. I was anxious. I was like angry all the time. I was the Grinch. It was horrible. I was pushing away my mom, my then boyfriend, who's not my husband. I was pushing everybody away. And it was, you know, my body was so tense and stressed. And I felt like this heavy weight on my chest that I couldn't get off. And that, you know, for our community, something very important is that if we don't like it, we need to like re-examine what our true passion is, because we want to be happy doing what we want to do. And the money comes as a bonus. Like, yeah, I think that's also something we worry about. Like, oh, I can't, you know, if I don't have this career, how will I make money?
Yeah.
So the money, you know, is secondary. If we're in this happy state and happy aligned state, then the money just, you know, starts to naturally pour in.
Yeah, absolutely. When you mentioned that you're like, you were at times like angry and emotional with like your parents, that's so hard to imagine, because like, just because knowing you just from like Instagram stuff, you're such a like happy, like soft spoken.
Oh, it was terrible.
Like, I can't even imagine you like just getting angry at someone. Like, obviously we all do, but like, you know, how did
it
you
was, like, I was
from that to this? Yeah.
Yeah. I was like pissed all the time. And I didn't know it. And, you know, I told my boyfriend, and then he became my fiance during that time. I was like, how do I tell my mom I want to quit this program? And, you know, I'm not going to be a doctor. Like, that was in my mind, like, I'm not going to be a doctor anymore. You know, I left like the med school idea, then the doctorate idea. I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And with the anxiety, I was trying to research, and all my papers were focused on anxiety and stress and how to get rid of it. And one of the things they told me in my program was I wanted to like alleviate it like naturally and holistic, you know, like, okay, take what I learned in this other master degree naturally and holistic. What do I think about anxiety? And, you know, as Latinos, something for us is like, we don't talk about our problems.
No, absolutely. No, we don't. That's
no, like you shove
no,
them.
No, right.
You shove him in that closet, like in that big closet, you shove him in and you go out to the world and you're the best thing that's ever been alive.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. My gosh. Like my grandma, my abuela was like, you know, you may be dragging, you know, poop on the floor, but you're not going to show anybody. Like that was her, like that was her cliche, like, what do you call it? Like saying, maybe dragging poop, but you're going to look great doing it. And you're going to present like this facade to the world.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. That is how our culture is. And it's kind of toxic, you know?
that is very toxic thinking. So I was going to school. I mean, I was getting the grade, like I wasn't letting that down because it was like I can't let this slip. But on the back end, it was horrible. I didn't want to do my homework. I didn't want to read. It was miserable. And then I was researching how to get rid of anxiety, like how to get rid of stress. And I started to do, you know, like, okay, meditation's supposed to help you. Yoga's supposed to help you. So that's how I started more on like that side. And I thought, you know, one and done. And I kept doing it. And I'm like, I'm so anxious. But because I wasn't addressing that root problem, I was not happy in that program. So no matter how many meditations, you know, yoga mantras I was doing, it wasn't helping.
Yeah. And that, I mean, it's interesting that you incorporated other like degrees, other things that you were studying into a different study, you know, the same line, I guess, but different like mindset.
It was very scientific, very research heavy. And I was like, you know, because they were saying like, I was working under two professors. So I was helping with their research. And then they're like, what do you want your thesis to be? And I'm like, isn't it a little bit too early? They're like, no, it's not too early to think about your thesis. And I was like, well, I'm thinking, you know, stress, anxiety, natural, holistic, homeopathic ways to, you know, cure it. And they're like, well, can you get scientific proof for that? And I was like, I mean, it's like pseudoscience to them. So I was like, well, like, I'm not interested in anything else.
Yeah.
Like, what am I supposed to do? And then they're like, well, what about one professor studying HIV? And I was like, yes, that's important, but that's not my interest.
Yeah.
And then another was talking about community well-being and what to do in the community and what the community needs to be healthy and well. I'm like, that's also important, but I'm not interested in interviewing community leaders and getting this. I'm like, that's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
I'm interested in getting rid of my anxiety.
Right. So yeah. Like how do I sure get to somebody, the bottom of this?
Yeah. Like, I'm sure somebody else can benefit. So I left I finished the semester. I left the program. So it was December. So it was our winter break. And I transferred over to the School of Communication. I was like, you know what? I love people. I love talking to people. And I was thinking, you know, maybe health communications. How can I, you know, tell people this could serve you or not serve you in a way that they understand? Because that's also something in our community. Medical terminology and medical language is not easy to understand. And even interpreters, it's hard to find them.
Yeah. And let me tell you, I'm in the healthcare field, but I do finance, but I have to know like healthcare lingo and stuff. And sometimes I talk to like Latinos and translating some of the terminology, I'm like, I actually don't know what that means. I'm going to have to Google that because I don't use that every day. You know, it's not easy.
Yeah. And then also not only like the literal translation from one word to the other, but the interpretation. So how do we culturally interpret what the doctor's saying? So that is something I studied in my previous master's, like brochures to Latinos and how inaccurate they were because they're so stereotypical.
Mm. Wow. I didn't even think about that. That's wow. Yeah. Okay.
So if you look at, you know, a simple brochure, like, like high blood pressure, they may, it's like a comic book style type, you know, it's like a story that they take you along and it's very good for you to remember things. If you have a story, very simple with images. So, you know, people who may have, you know, fifth grade reading level can understand it.
Yeah,
that's basically like the gist. That's what you want to get down to, getting people to understand this complex medical thing and how to take care of yourself. But it's so stereotypical. And I was like, this doesn't work, people. And I study a lot about the CDC and the brochures, the medical office brochures that they had. And so that's where my mind went. I was like, okay, I do health communications. I can talk to people. I'll help out some way or the other. So I ended up with a master's of science in public relations.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. And then I was like, you know what, let's keep up this meditation and yoga. And then, oh, I was talking about that winter break. I got so sick after I quit that program.
You got sick after?
Yes.
Do you think, I mean, do you know, or now do you know, like that was because of all like the stress that was on you?
The stress was boiling. Yeah. So that's why I'm telling you, like your body is like the last sign. And then you're going to start to see like explosions coming.
That's scary.
If you don't address it. So I was my whole winter break. We had like 3 weeks off. I was sick like two of those weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. I had a terrible ear infection and I was coughing and I wasn't sleeping. And the meds they gave me, I did take the antibiotic, obviously, you know, this is not me telling people don't take your meds if you have a doctor prescribing them, because that's not what holistic wellness is all about. So I took them, and then one of them gave me a nasal spray, terrible side effect. So I was, you know, like they gave me three drugs. I only took the antibiotic. The others were like terrible. They're not aligned with my body. I felt sick and my heart was racing. So I was like, no, I don't mind the runny nose.
That's interesting. So, that like medicine not aligned with your body part that you said. I think that's a common thing that a lot of, I don't know if doctors don't understand, or they just don't. I mean, you know, we know our body best, right? But my girlfriend also, she has some like medications, and sometimes she has to like change them like pretty often because of the way that they like react with her body. And it's a common thing that reoccurs, you know. Do you think that just doctors just prescribe whatever they know, or like how do they make sense of this?
So when I was doing my first master's at Vanderbilt, I actually worked at the medical school, and that was, you know, a big eye opener why I thought, okay, med school is not for me. Mm-hmm. Thanks to that job, I loved it. It was really nice. I did not want to put blame on the doctors.
Yeah.
Because they tell us what they know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So if we want to really say, you know, why are the doctors just prescribing this to me, or are they only just write a pill, like write a prescription and set me free instead of listen to me, it's because that's the way it's taught.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So that's the only thing they know.
Yep.
So you don't know what you don't know. Right.
Right.
So, in a way, that is not their fault. That is the way the system works. And particularly in the US healthcare system, it's not a preventative healthcare system. It's more like a sick health system. So they only kind of treat the sick.
Yeah.
They don't help you not get there.
Right, right.
And it's in a prescription, it does work, but it's like just putting a little Band-Aid on what's really going on underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, like with a prescription, there's many chemical reactions that go on in our bodies, or even if you're taking, you know, like depression medication or like hormonal medication, a lot of things like those prescriptions take over our bodies and kind of like dominate them. And so it puts our body in like this dormant state while those prescriptions work. So if you are like, like the first thing that comes to mind is like birth control, because it's just easier to understand. Mm-hmm. So like these hormones take over, and then our natural hormones are like, oh, okay, like you're doing my job, I'll just sit back here and wait until you're done. So they're like sitting here, and then, you know, like they're like controlling your body in a way. Mm-hmm. And then when people come off these medications, then our natural hormones, our natural chemicals are like going haywire because they've just been sitting still for so long. So that's when a lot of like,
I love it. You're dropping some awesome things here. I love it. Yeah, keep going.
A lot of like reactions occur because we're like, we put our bodies in control of something else, like a synthetic chemical that's not naturally made in our bodies. So that's something I'm really passionate about. Like our body is our best pharmacy. We just have to clear out everything that's been blocking that pharmacy for it to function properly.
I love that.
A lot of it is like environmental, and that's what people sometimes don't know. Like about 90% of diseases that we suffer are environmental. They're not genetic, and they're actually preventable.
Wow. Can you give us like an example? just well, not to you put have you on like, the spot, but like, you no. know, I'm curious, yeah. you know,
you have like the major ones that you're aware of, like diabetes, high blood pressure. Many cancers are also very preventable. They're not necessarily genetic. So a few things are genetic. So I'm not going to, you know, discard that.
Yeah.
There also been like research that Alzheimer's is also very environmentally influenced and things like that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's about how to take care of our bodies now before they start to scream. Because then once it gets to that point, there's a lot that's been accumulating.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Or, like, a lot of like thyroid issues can also be preventable, or, you know, there's some very good stories that they've actually been reversed and things like that with like natural holistic alternatives and making some lifestyle changes.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to have you on here, because your approach is, you're so knowledgeable and your approach is not one that I've heard before. I mean, like it's out there, I'm sure, you know, but like,
yeah,
just the way that you explain things is I can understand easily.
Thank you. Yeah. See that? That's like my point. It doesn't have to be like this big words or anything like that. It doesn't have to be very complicated, and it's just breaking it down to where people can understand it and see what serves them and what doesn't. You know, like I give out info and you take what's serving you right at this moment.
Yeah. Exactly. So I want to get, you know, there's tons of diets, rules, restrictions, mm-hmm. and products that are in the internet. Like, where do you start with what's right for yourself and like, or for a person that wants to research this kind of thing?
So I want to say, you know, like a diet is kind of like a short-term plan that you have to maybe like get in shape, or, you know, you have like this wedding coming up and you want to fit in a dress and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I will not say that those typically don't work, because, you know, they do work, but it's only short-term work. It's okay. not sustainable to do like a traditional diet. So, you know, sometimes they may not even be so healthy either. So what I typically start out is by asking people, what kind of lifestyle are you desiring?
Yeah.
So do you want to be, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I want to lose weight. Okay. It's great. but also like, okay, so what happens if you lose this weight? Mm-hmm. Like, are you going to be happy? Are you going to be satisfied? Are you going to, you know, fit into the clothes you want? Like, what do you actually want aside from losing the weight?
Very
so
true.
That's where I typically start. And then also, how do you want to feel? And is the lifestyle that you're desiring in a future state, is that sustainable to start out with today?
Yeah.
So we also want to start out with what we have, and not, you know, think that we need to like spend this ton of money into, you know, buying these products, or, you know, whether it's fitness equipment or the foods or anything like that.
You know, it's at the end of the day, we know our body best, mm-hmm. but maybe we're not thinking in that long term, like what comes after, like I lose, you know, like you said, what comes after I lose that weight? Like, am I going to be happy now? Like, I don't think people think about that.
Like,
yeah.
Like, how do you want to feel? So like for me, I want to feel energized. I want to feel really good in the clothes that I have. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes I try not to think it in terms of losing weight, because mm-hmm. that also goes into a very like losing mindset, in that once you reach a goal, if you always have, I need to lose weight in your mind, something will happen that will make you also need to continue to lose weight forever. So mm-hmm. it's like reframing that mindset as to, I don't need to lose weight. I just would like to get into, you know, these types of clothes.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, you know, that's kind of like my personal goal. I feel best when I can wear, you know, this size. I look good. I feel really good and I feel comfortable. And that's where I try to get people, you know, how do you want to feel? Okay. Like the weight comes off, let's say in 6 months. Okay. Mm-hmm. Can you sustain it?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do to keep it up? Cause then that's kind of like the challenge, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like what comes after that. That's the
challenge. Cause people tend to stop. Like once they reach the goal, they're like, okay, I'm here. And then they stop.
Now what?
Yeah. So I'm trying to build a sustainable lifestyle for them that will help them maintain their ideal weight. And our body knows what's our ideal weight and size and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, we get into how do we start listening to our body and what works best for us to sustain it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not a diet, but rather a lifestyle that you want to achieve. And it takes time. So, you know, we were talking about prescription pills. They mm-hmm. work fast. They do. You know, right. like my ear infection was cured within 10 days. Mm-hmm. I'm not against that. You know, I need it for that to be cured. But also, again, what can I do to prevent another ear infection from stress?
So another thing I wanted to go into was, you know, one thing that I'm personally curious about is like, you know, throughout our day, we just go in America, like life is just really fast. And mm-hmm. like we're doing so many things at once. And how do you slow it down? How do you slow down your days, or how, not necessarily slow them down, but how do you include some wellness and health that will help you throughout your day?
So I pause a lot, and people are like, well, I can't just, you know, stop doing stuff, but it takes like if you could take out 5 to 15 minutes to pause. Mm-hmm. And particularly like in the mornings, I do this when I wake up, rather than just going out of bed and like getting ready or checking my phone, or, you know, if you have kids, like going to see them. If you could wake up 5 to 10 minutes earlier, pause, think about like how you want to feel, what you want to accomplish that day. And this helps, like I do a lot of journaling. So journaling in the morning is very beneficial for me to kind of see what's in my mind. And if you put it on paper, you can kind of break down what you think is a problem and like read over, and you're like, oh, that's very silly. Why am I thinking about this?
Yeah.
So getting it out of your mind, because our minds, I mean, as great as the mind is, the brain, it's there for survival. So we need to learn really how to basically us manage it. Like us, yeah, we are the absolutely. CEO. Like the brain doesn't manage us.
Yeah,
it keeps us alive, which is great. But we also need to be careful what it's thinking, because it loves drama. So if we pause and consider, okay, what is going on inside my head, first of all, and is this realistic?
Yeah.
So that's something I do every day, where like when I'm feeling anxious, if you have somebody to talk to, like I do this with my husband, I'm like, hey, I'm kind of feeling anxious, because I feel it like in my chest. So that's another thing, like where in the body are you feeling?
Yeah.
And so he's like, why? And then I'm like, well, I think this and this happens. And you're like, okay, let's go back. You just said this. Like, do you think this is really going to happen? And then I'm like, no, I guess you're right. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of calms you down if you can get it out of your head.
That's
kind of see this drama going on inside your head.
And now that you're mentioning that anxiety, you know, we're in this pandemic, like how do we keep all these things from like our brain going crazy? Because, you know, like you said, maybe it's not something that's realistically that will happen, but like there's so much anxiety because we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it just feels like the world's like coming down on us. How do mm-hmm. What kind of tools do you use, and what can we do to make ourselves feel better, or at least go on about our day?
So I know like many people lost a lot of their jobs, and, you know, we've been very fortunate that like my husband hasn't, or like I get to work from home. And, you know, as far as somebody like losing a job, we need to understand that, I don't want to say it's like meant to happen, you know, but things happen for a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's always a positive side to everything, even though it looks dark. So I do believe, like, you know, in God and the power of prayer. And, mm-hmm. you know, if we look at it as an opportunity rather than a loss, we can see like other things that could be ahead for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you lost a job, it may be a good time to get back to your family. Or maybe an opportunity to see, maybe this job was the one that was causing me this high amount of stress. So what can I do that I love and makes me happy? And also, you know, could there be a business opportunity there? Like this is a great time for entrepreneurship, or like, yeah. I don't want to call it side hustles, because, you know, that's kind of like a mindset that's never going to grow.
Yeah.
It's only going to be small. But, you know, we need to think and feel abundance for it to be attracted to us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I truly believe God wants the best for us. And, you know, sometimes as Latinos, we were also raised in this notion that, you know, money's not everything. Well, which is true, but we do need money for survival. And with money, we can do greater things for the world. Like we can give back once we have money. So I think it's something that as Latinos, like we're so afraid of money because that's what we were taught.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Like hold on to the money that you have, like, you know, save.
Put it under the mattress. Like,
yeah.
My parents used to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Old school.
Yeah. So it's something that we need to learn, like, you know, take this time to consider what do I believe about life? You know, what do I believe to be true? And what do I love to do? And of course, if you have an idea in mind, like, go for it, because one thing leads to another. And when we talk about, you know, like, abundance and mindset, something I also do with clients is, you know, like I said, one action leads to another. And if you have an idea or thought, it's in your mind for a reason. And if you've had it for a long time and you have now time to do it, like, why not go for it?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
Yeah. So I think it's really difficult. Like, if you don't have a job or, like, are not having an income for a while, like, look at it as an opportunity. You know, the things that happen to us, we go through them to learn a lesson. And if it keeps happening to us, it's because that lesson hasn't been learned. And so if we just reframe our mindset around it, then, you know, maybe an answer may pop up. Mm-hmm. And something that I also want to say is that if we have questions like, why is this happening to me? If we keep asking them, our brain loves questions and it will help us, like, get the answer to them one way or another. Like, we may see something on TV and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, that answered this question. Or a friend of ours, like, we may be talking about it and then they say something and it, like, clicks. So that's we
true. Find, I do have those moments. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it sounds silly. Like, I've been trying to look for, like, non-toxic, healthy skincare to help, you know, cause a lot of chemicals are in our skincare and they're like hormone disruptors. And I was like, what's a good skincare that is not, you know, like $600 a bottle, but it, you know, like, it'll actually work. And I asked somebody and, well, it wasn't even a direct question. Mm-hmm. It's a small business. And I was like, oh, what kind of skincare products do you have or use? And then she's like, she gave me like two names and I started to research them and I'm like, you know what, this really affordable and really good, and see, like, I got my answer.
Yeah.
So it's like, in different ways, you just have to ask yourself and throw out the questions and the answers will start to come. So to kind of summarize it, look at this time as an opportunity rather than a loss of any income or revenue that you used to have. Take the time to, like, dedicate to the things you love doing. And, you know, start asking yourself questions and see what answers come out. And yeah.
So you mentioned income and just finances. You know, I'm a big finance guy. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering how health and wellness is related to finance and things, you know, things like retail therapy and all that. Like, what's going on in our brains that leads to these kind of things?
So in terms of health and wellness, you know, if you consider, like, holistic and integrative wellness, we have this notion that it's expensive. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things do require maybe more money than we wish to pay. You know, like, we think of wellness as like, oh, we get like massages, you know, good chiropractor, acupuncture, eating organic foods. It is a bit more money. And this is also like another mindset shift, you know, rather than consider things expensive, we can consider them, you know, something a price I do not wish to pay at the moment. Mm-hmm. So it sounds silly, but changing just the rephrase and rewording around it helps us get into a more like abundance mindset.
Yeah.
And then this also goes to the kind of lifestyle we want to lead. Like, when I ask people, what kind of lifestyle do you want to have and how do you want to feel?
Yeah.
And so if we say, like, we can't afford it now, okay, you know, that's fine. Not everybody can. And I understand that, you know, I am not about to pay $600 for a skincare regimen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's continuing to search for things that are good for me and that will serve me, but within the price range that I have and can afford at the moment. Mm-hmm. So, like some tips, because I get a lot of people like, oh, I can't shop at Whole Foods, which is true. Not everybody can. But so I grew up shopping at Walmart. My mom loved Walmart.
Yeah.
So
love Walmart.
over the years, Walmart has gotten better and better at bringing in more organic or allergy-friendly foods like gluten-free and dairy-free options. So if you're a Walmart shopper, Walmart right now has really great products. Lots of organic fruits and veggies. I also do a lot of frozen fruits, lots of frozen veggies. Those are also a bit less priced and they, you know, can be frozen so they last longer. Mm-hmm. Also canned goods are really good and lower price than the organic. And a lot of canned brands are also doing organic. or like Goja is now doing a lot of also organic things. But so that's also very, you know, viable option if you can't get fresh things for lesser price.
Okay. I like that. Yeah. What about for people? You got any tips for people that are huge spenders that just kind of impulse buy? How do you attack that? Like, do you ever get people that come to you and maybe that's one of their things that they do to relieve like some stress, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, who, like, as a woman or man, who doesn't enjoy shopping?
I love shopping.
I love shopping too.
I gotta be within my budget. You know, we're all about the budget here.
And I mean, having a budget is good. Like, I'm not a finance, you know, person like as you are. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking, so like, okay, to kind of help understand your question, is it more about how to avoid overspending or like get a mind shift our mindset into not overspend or shop or?
Yeah, shift our mindset to not overspend, I'd say, you know, not to shop as frequently, like, hey, maybe I don't need that after all. Like, how do you, because, you know, I'm like, I need that, I need this and that, but like, maybe I don't need this. Like,
yeah. So for me, I truly believe it's kind of, this reminds me of like craving.
You know, sometimes
we can't help it and we want
it. It is a craving.
Yeah. So for cravings, here's what I do. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's a lot of factors that affect cravings, you know, like environmental, hormonal too. So if you're in a high state of stress and like retail therapy is like your outlet, then what I do is, so you have like, okay, you may be like already shopping and you have things in your cart and then you're thinking, do I really need this? Like, I would truly recommend just like closing the window and stepping away from it and then doing something else. Well, cause like if you forget about it, was it really that important?
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's like craving. It's like, okay, like you open the pantry and okay, like you really want those cookies, but you just ate, like you just had, you know, baked dinner. Like, do you really need those cookies? So like, yes, let's close the pantry, like go, you know, go play a game online, like go on and like do something for 30 minutes that will take your mind away. Mm-hmm. And then like, did you remember the cookies like 2 hours later? Like, did you really need them? So it's kind of like that idea, you know, like with cravings also, like sometimes you're not really hungry, you just need water.
Yeah.
So like what else are you needing? Because oftentimes, you know, like the shopping is not the problem. That's the solution to a problem that you're having.
Yep, absolutely.
So what's really going on, like think about what is triggering you to go shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Also like taking that pause and consider, okay, why do I feel the need to go shopping?
Yeah.
And also, you know, from like a credit card standpoint, like just rip them. So you don't have, unless you memorize the number, then you have a bigger problem. But
my girlfriend memorized her number. She's really good with that stuff, but she's also good at shopping, you know.
Like I didn't cancel any credit cards when I was, you know, trying to pay them off, but in order not to use them, I ripped them all.
Yeah.
So I still have the account open. You know, I was able to pay them off and it won't hurt my credit score. So, you know, that's finance.
There you go.
But I don't have the physical card.
Yeah.
So I can't, I can't spend if I don't have the card. And I've never memorized the numbers. So,
Nice. That's so awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, just kind of like step away from it and like take that pause and think, what is triggering me to shop right now? How do I feel now? Because if you're, you know, anxious or something, and that's like when you go shop, then we need to address what's getting you anxious, what's getting you to that state, and to consider, you know, therapy is not the problem. Because a lot of people also point fingers like, oh, I'm a shopaholic. Like that's really not the main issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of you have to work backwards from where you are. Because sometimes we only see like the shop, you know, like we see the big pictures, but not like the little trees, you know, like we see the whole forest, but not the little trees.
Yeah.
And you know, some of them may be suffering and we need to address those.
Not to put you on the spot, but like, I'm really curious, like because I love the approach you have, as I mentioned before, what some like misconceptions might be to some people of the way that you approach things, like, you know, like you say, like naturally, and a lot of problems are from like their environment as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like what have you found are some like misconceptions that some people might not understand? Like, does that make sense?
Yeah. So one thing like people believe that it's how life is meant to be. Like, oh, like, you know, my grandma had high blood pressure or, you know, thyroid problems, so it's normal for me to have them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, they had it, so it's likely that I will. That's too. True. Yeah. So it's kind of breaking away that not necessarily, like, some things are genetics.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not going to say that they're not, but like I said, a lot of it is factors, you know, your stress levels, how you're sleeping, what are you eating? You know, food is our fuel. So how are you actually fueling your body and how is it responding to that fuel? So that's a big one. Another one is, you know, it's too expensive. I can't afford it. So that's also another misconception. And like I said, you know, when I break down to people, what lifestyle do you want to have and what is sustainable for you to start right now with?
Yeah.
Because I'm not here to recommend. I mean, I do shop at Whole Foods and it's really good. It has a lot of variety, but I know the prices are also just as high as their variety.
Yep.
So, you know, if it's not doable for you, why am I recommending it to you? Because then you're not going to carry it out. You know, it's not sustainable. Like, once again, it's not sustainable for you.
Yep.
So thinking about that there's ways to be healthy without having to like break the bank.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And naturally, like, you'll start to feel better and see the results. So you are naturally going to want to invest more into what's making you feel and look good, looking at it as an investment on yourself.
Yeah. I personally, I don't mind investing or like paying maybe like a higher price for something. If it's something like that's going to benefit me, like my health, if it's for my health, like I do not mind at all, because I know that I need to be in that good state of mind.
Yeah.
I need to be okay with, you know, like physically that I'm fine with it.
Yeah. And then another thing, like this may be like a personal misconception that I've gotten, that I'm like too young to know better. You know, so, and I think that also goes like culturally, because I'm just 26. I'm not like the 50-year-old doctor who's had the experience or anything.
Yeah.
So it's more like, yes, I am young, but you know, like I've also like studied this and I've done that.
Yeah, you have a bunch of degrees.
Like, I've tried different things. So it's like getting people, like especially like Latinos, knowing that, yes, I may be young, but I can help you, like, you know, like,
yeah,
for us, age is wisdom.
Yes.
And if you're, you know, like less than 30, like, why am I taking advice?
What do you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's also something that, as like Latinos should also consider, that age is, you know, shouldn't be a factor.
Yeah, absolutely.
For things. And, not only, you know, who you may be hiring to help you, but also like you yourself, just because you're 50 doesn't mean you're meant to like be feeling tired and overwhelmed and overworked. Like, we should be feeling our best every year, and
yes,
we could be healthy. Like, just because you're 50 doesn't mean like, oh, I'm not 20 anymore. Like,
yeah.
Nope, but you can get back to like feeling like a 20-year-old. So that's another misconception. Age.
Absolutely.
And ageism especially in our community, mm-hmm, is huge.
Talk to me about services that you offer and what people can do to reach out to you.
Yeah. So I do mostly one-on-one coaching. I have a 6-month program and I go one-on-one with you. You know, I do have a specific like kind of layout, but it's all tailored to you. And we go from mindset, then we focus on your body. And then lastly, I want to finish off with, you know, what other goals do you have in the future? And how can you sustain everything that we've been through and the changes you've been doing? How can you sustain it after our time together is over? And also more about what you love to do and how to do more what feels good and aligned with you. So that's usually a 6-month program, and we meet every 2 weeks, just so you have time to either do some changes and then, you know, get back to me. And like I said, it's all about focused on the person, and whatever they come to the table is what we work with, because that's what's going on right now. You know,
right.
I don't work with how you were yesterday, and I don't work with what you may be doing tomorrow, because I don't know. So I work with how you show up for that day. And then people reach out to me on Instagram. I love talking to people. That's how we met. I've met so many people on Instagram.
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad I was able to connect with you. Yeah.
And that's how I do a lot of it. I do have, you know, a website that they can go to, mindful-wellness.co.
And what's your Instagram handle?
at Bea Betty B. So yeah, so DMs or if you go to my website, you can also find my email, or also on my Instagram, you could find my email account and shoot me an email, and or in the comments too. I know I get a lot of people, you know, you could have a really good conversation on comments, and I try to answer everything as much as I can and love to connect.
Yes. What can we look forward to from you in the future? Maybe some things that you're working on upcoming.
So I want to get a podcast going. Yes. I would love to have, you know, like other people who have been in the field longer and interviewed them, or, you know, just people who have done some lifestyle changes. And I'm very into, you know, people who have, like, I don't want to say cured, but like found a good remedy for, you know, something like cancer or something like more naturally, and kind of view their lifestyle changes when they found out and things like that, and what they do now to sustain, you know, being free of those cancer cells and things like that. So, you know, a couple of interviews with like experts, and then actual like real people who have done these changes.
That is something to look forward to. I will be right on that when you decide to come out with that.
Yeah, that's you have a fan already. Thank you. Yeah, that's a 2021 project, and, you know, like long term is I would love to do like retreats for people and bring in other experts, you know, because I don't know everything, and you know, like even if it's a day or a 2 day retreat, and get people together who are ready to make those lifestyle changes and help them along the way.
It has been absolute honor. Thank you so much for everything, and as always, I'll be in touch, and I hope you have a good rest of the weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please give it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and a follow on Spotify. It helps me tremendously in order to bring more awareness and educational resources to our community. For more information and to stay up to date with what I'm doing, you can follow me on Instagram at LatinaAmericaNail. And if you need more information and resources, you can visit my website, LatinaAmericaNail.org. I'm Kevin Munoz. This has been the Leo Podcast, and I'll see you next time.